It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys with off-season updates and next season guesses. Here they are, Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Yep, you betcha. We're the Fantasy Football Guys, Kevin.
Lyle.
And it is deep in the offseason, dude. It's all we can do to muster up any NFL knowledge out of our sleeping brains.
Jarvis Landry got a contract.
You know what? Howie Roseman winning the offseason once again.
Yeah.
Because he signed Alshon Jeffrey, who is clearly a better receiver than Jarvis Landry.
Way better.
Yeah, for like 47 mil, with like 27 mil.
Something guaranteed, yeah. I think it was 52 mil in 27.
So, yeah, but it was far less dollar, far fewer dollars than what Jarvis Landry just got. Which, was a thing of beauty.
I love it when Kevin's phone rings. Kevin's phone's ringing right now. He's got an actual house phone that rings. Listen. Hold on. I'll tell you. Ready?
Yeah. I don't know if you can hear it or not.
They can pick it up.
Yeah,
these mics are good.
And I don't know. I don't even know why it's ringing. Dude, it's
brilliant.
It's not a phone I ever answer. The wife insists on having it because she likes having a real phone. For when she works at home and has calls. The thing is, she never works from home anymore.
Right.
I was like, use your
cell phone. She can't just use her cell phone for that?
No, she's like, I don't, people with cell phones on calls, they sound terrible on conference calls. I'm like, that's because they are, their microphones suck. You just get a decent headset or something.
Yeah, the headset.
Yeah, she's like, nah, I just want the, so we're paying, it's not much money.
I can't remember what year I last had a house phone.
It's been, I can tell you, it's been years since I've spoken on my house phone number.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to get a hold of me calls my cell.
I call your cell.
Right. Yeah. If you call my house phone, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
I don't even know that I have your house phone number anymore. It's hilarious.
Anyway, enough about me.
Well, I mean, it's as interesting as what's going on in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you're probably right. Hey, if you asked how many Super Bowls the Steelers have won or which running back had the best fantasy year last year, you'd probably not even blink. You'd know the answer, of course. But if I asked you, Lyle, to describe what kind of wine you like, you might have trouble coming up with anything past white or red.
The alcoholic kind.
Right.
If that's the case, then Wink is the perfect wine club for you. Their palate profile, which will match wines to you and make the discovery of great wines feel like you're winning the game.
So how does Wink, that's W-I-N-C, make it easy to discover great wine, you ask? Well, Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your taste, personalized for you, shipped right to your door, starting at just $13 a bottle.
Just fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. Answer questions like, how do you take your coffee and how do you feel about blueberries? Then Wink sends you wines created to your tastes.
Or curated to your taste.
Sorry, curated. What did I say, created?
Created, yeah.
Beautiful.
They're not going to actually make the wine for you. They will send you other people's wines.
Correct.
The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. Now, each month there are new delicious wines, but no membership fees. You can skip any month and you can cancel at any time. It's the best membership ever.
Not only that, but there's no shipping cost. And if you don't like the bottle they send you, they'll replace it with a bottle you'll love, no questions asked.
So if you or your significant other or any other family member likes wine, how can you not join Wink? Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/FFguys, and you'll get $20 off your first shipment.
That's trywink.com, trywinc.com/FFguys, for $20 off.
trywink.com/FFguys. Get that done.
I've been really into wine lately.
Hey, sign up.
I might, actually. I really like dark reds, but I don't know anything about wine.
Well, see, that's the thing. Most people don't. They go in and they ask some dude walking around with a name on his shirt and go, hey, we're having turkey and what's a good wine? This Chardonnay is probably pretty good.
Dude.
Yeah. This.
I had a glass paired with a steak the other night. I got to tell you about this restaurant, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, see, anyway.
Yeah, what restaurants do is they actually pair wines with the food you're going to eat.
Right. Dude, it was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, what restaurant is it?
Prime 225 in Chesapeake City.
Ah, nice.
Oh, dude.
Yeah?
All right, we're going to get off on tangent here.
Okay.
My buddy Brian from Jiu-Jitsu works there, and he keeps telling everybody to come there. So a couple people have. So I took Jess to there for our anniversary. First, we did an escape room.
I thought you were going to say trampoline, but anyway.
No, an escape room.
Okay.
And then we went to Prime 225.
Did you get out?
We did not. We got close, but we did not.
Were you in Newark?
Yeah.
Were you in the Sherlock Holmes room?
No, we went to, all right, so sorry, guys.
Tangent of a tangent.
Yeah, it's like Great Escape, Delaware. It's up on Kirkwood Highway.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, it was a Walking Dead room.
Ah, nice.
So like zombies and stuff. And when we started out, I was...
Were there actually zombies in the room?
No, but there was like sounds and, you know, that kind of thing. So I got, I was handcuffed to a wall and Jess was in a cage on the other side of the room.
This sounds like a fabulous scenario.
And it was locked. The cage was locked with a padlock. So we had to try to get each other out of those. And then, you know, various other puzzles you have to solve to get out of the room. Yeah, it was a lot
of fun. That sounds awesome. Okay, so back to the restaurant. Anyway, tangent number one.
So back to the restaurant. So we ordered some steaks and they were delicious. I had the second best piece of key lime pie I've ever had in my life there.
First being?
In Key West.
Yeah, well, that'll do it.
Yeah. I mean,
they actually grow the limes right there.
Dude. That I'll never, it was so good. I will never forget that piece of pie. Yeah. It's the most delicious thing I think I've ever tasted. Anyway, but their key lime pie was extremely good. But the thing that killed us was, you know, Brian's going on and on about their oyster stew. Mm-hmm. And he's like, people have told me it's life changing. So we started making fun of him immediately. We're like, oh, you're going to change your lives with some stew, are you? It's going to be different. Dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did it change your life?
I mean, it was close.
There's life before the oyster stew. And let me tell you something.
Since I had that stew, I have not stopped thinking about it.
Really?
I mean, and like every other day, Jess will be like, "You want to change your life? You want to run down to Chesapeake City and change your life right now?"
Okay, like, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You can either have that again,
uh-huh,
but it's going to cost you the Eagles Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, Eagles Super Bowl.
Okay, no, so yeah, it's not life changing. That was life changing. Eagle Super Bowl was like.
Let me tell you something. It's one of the most interesting and best flavors I have ever tasted. And it just was a fantastic starter to a meal. It was funny because we got a tuna tartare, which is Jessica's favorite thing. And we got
raw fish. I love it.
Okay. Yeah, I like it too. And we got oyster stew. And she was like, I don't care about, you know, oyster stew. So I started eating it. I'm like, dude, you got to try this. So she tasted it and she was like, yep, you're not getting this back.
Yeah.
You can have my tuna tartare.
Nice.
So she just kept it. Yeah. So anyway, I had wine paired with my steak there, and it was excellent.
So the point being,
the wine is good.
But if you,
I don't think I could drink wine all the time.
Yeah, I'm a beer guy, but
me too.
Yeah, and I'll have wine with like Thanksgiving dinner or something, like 2-3 times a year.
Right.
But if you really like wine, you know, it's nice to having things paired to your taste.
Yeah.
And that's why they ask you those questions about coffee.
Right,
it's interesting. You know, if you like sweet coffee, then you may like sweeter wines, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right, and if you like the tartness of blueberries, and that's how they get your palate profile built, mm-hmm, so they know what to send you. And if you get something that you don't like, you can send it back.
Right.
It's a thing of beauty.
It's beautiful.
Anyway, so that would be trywink.com/FFguys.
And wink with a C.
Yes, guys. Definitely. That, but it's pronounced wink like with a K, but
right, but it has, but a C.
It has a,
you want to
C.
Do Harry's now, just get it out of the way. Let's do it.
No, let's not.
Come
let's,
on,
let's just do news.
All right, fine.
Vontae, dude, you gotta wonder how long the Bengals are going to deal with Vontaze Burfict and his shenanigans, if you will. So he's suspended 4 games now for PEDs.
Yep,
so
I love it.
You know, the behavior. Now, you know, when he plays, he's an impact player. So you have to imagine they're going to give him every break possible. But, dude, it's like, how many more times can this guy be in the news? It's crazy.
I mean, I'm sure more, but.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's going to be more.
But, yeah, man, it's not a look you want. You want people in the news for good reasons, not bad. And he keeps, you know, ending up in. And they say no such thing as bad press.
I don't think so.
Yeah, tell that to Mike Vick.
That's right. Yeah, tell that to Ray Rice.
Right.
All right, so Jarvis Landry, we talked about his deal before. So basically it's 5 years worth $75 million, which it's not. It's $47 million because that's the guaranteed money. But for a slot receiver in Cleveland?
He's real good.
He's a pretty good slot receiver.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who catches a lot of passes.
He's going to catch a minimum of 80 balls, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
Right. You know, and on a good year, he might crack, you know, 110, right? He's capable of that.
But that's a lot of jack for
a
slot guy.
It's a lot of money,
guy.
Dude.
So, you know, good for him. He got paid. I'm not going to question him. But, dude, you know.
140 targets per year he averaged as a Dolphin.
A lot of these, you know. If you look traditionally, there's very few wide receivers that change teams that have a huge impact. We saw Alshon Jeffrey do it. We saw T.O. do it with the Eagles and other teams, mm-hmm, as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in most cases, when wide receivers change teams, You know, you got Jeremy Maclin going from the Chiefs to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Snoozer.
Well, it's the Ravens, though.
Yeah, I understand, but it's the Browns, though.
The thing about the Browns is, and we'll get into this a little bit later, we don't know who's throwing the football yet.
We know it's Tyrod Taylor this year.
Maybe.
Oh, sure it is. Absolutely it is.
Maybe.
For game one, anyway.
You don't know that.
Well, unless he gets hurt.
I mean, so who are they going to draft? Is Rosen?
No, we're going to talk about that's the whole bulk of the show.
That's right. So that's the big question. I don't know that Tyrod's the starter this year. And if he is, why are they signing high-profile wide receivers? Because that seems to be more of a run-first kind of thing.
Well, they also have Carlos Hyde.
Again,
you're still going to have to throw the ball.
Yeah, some, but Tyrod's not a slinger, man.
Tyrod's pretty damn accurate.
He's accurate, but he's not really a... I wouldn't call him a prolific passer.
He's not. Well, that's the offense he was in.
Right.
For his entire life.
Maybe. Basically. Yeah, maybe.
So, you know, I would be shocked if it was anybody other than Tyrod. Unless, you know, Sam Darnold or somebody goes in there and just lights up preseason, which is possible.
100%.
All right, so one of the great things today is happening, and I can't wait to I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Everybody
in Dallas.
Yeah.
To see what's going on with the Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones meeting today.
It's going to be a lot of Jerry Jones making bad decisions, I hope.
Well, it would probably be a bad decision to keep Dez Bryant, quite frankly.
Well, like, what? I don't know. Didn't you try to get something for him at some point?
Maybe.
They should have.
You should.
Right? Or cut him loose prior to free agency?
No, you know, you can probably get more for him, you know, at draft time or whatever.
Maybe.
So here's the thing. I think Dez's cap number this year is 12.5 mil.
That's steep.
Right. So if they cut him loose, it's still going to be like 4.5 mil of dead money because it's carryover from his signing bonus.
Tony Romo is still hitting them with dead money.
He is. So basically,
I think he's costing them $9 million this year or something.
That would be great.
I think he is.
Dude,
Tony Romo.
You want to hear the best residual money thing in the world I've ever heard? Dude, the Pirates are still paying Barry Bonds.
Yes, they are.
And yes, they're going to for another, I don't know, 5 years or so.
Something like that.
Yeah, anyway, so back to this thing. You know that Jerry's going to want to cut Dez's pay.
I mean, the guy has been under 1,000 yards the last 2 years.
Right.
He caught 50 balls in 2016, 69 last year.
You know what? And we've talked about this before.
Respectively.
I think it's not if Romo was in there, he'd be the same old Dez. You've got a quarterback
Maybe.
Who can't. I mean, look at all the throws that he completes. None of them are downfield, dude. It's all comebacks. It's all, you know, when was the last time he actually threw a seam route to Witten?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a few of them.
No.
What?
I'm just reading this. So this says, according to SportTrack.com, Romo's six-year, $108 million contract with the Cowboys hit them for $24.7 million against the team's 2017 cap?
Ooh, really?
Jesus. No wonder they suck. So wonder what it is against them now.
Well, it's probably going to be not as much, but it's probably going to be some.
Oh, that's why he retired. So that cut out $14 million of cap space for the Cowboys last year. Got it.
So Tony clocked $10 million last year.
Out of nothing, and apparently he's going to be another $9 million against the cap this year.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's getting that, because it could be residual from
his
signing
bonus.
I don't care.
It's just, it's still hitting Dallas.
Yeah, it is. But we don't know what Tony's actually banking.
It's still against their cap,
for
though.
Not playing football.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah. All right, see, what else is going on here? Looking at, you know what, I read this yesterday, and I didn't really see it from a good source that I'd necessarily trust, but I still wanted to talk about it. Allegedly, the Seahawks were going to host Colin Kaepernick for a visit. And they asked him what his thoughts were for kneeling for the national anthem next year if he decided to come to the team or if the team decided to sign him. And he made it clear that he was going to continue to kneel for the anthem. And the Seahawks allegedly canceled the visit.
Wow.
So, you know, like I said, it didn't come from Schefter as far as I know. That didn't come from anybody of, you know, it wasn't Mort, you know, that kind of thing. So, allegedly, actually it is on NFL.com now. Seahawks postpone Kaepernick visit. So it's not done, but
it was postponed.
They already signed a quarterback. So, okay, this was Ian Rappaport. Yeah, he came up with this. I didn't see this earlier. So, yeah, I guess it's official that, you know, that happened. So, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that, honestly.
I'm not sure how I feel about it either, but I can tell you this. Well, you know what, man? I think that he should be able to stand or kneel and do whatever he wants. Who cares?
You'd think so. But you'd also see that, you know, allegedly it's... I keep saying allegedly, but it cost the NFL money last year. And money's the name of the game in every corporation, whether you're football or widgets.
Yeah. At the same time, though, if he was a star caliber athlete, which he's not. He's good. He's just not great. But if he was Tom Brady, he could do whatever he wanted. Nobody would care. So there's a double standard here.
There absolutely is a double standard. So
yeah, that's the part I don't like about it.
Yeah, you know, but you know, you can also say, well, Tom Brady.
Do you think the Seahawks would not re-sign Russell Wilson if he decided to kneel? No,
I can't say. Probably not. You know, you would have to think he would.
No, so even in the same organization, there's different rules. That's dumb.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the way of the world, dude. There's different rules for different people.
I know but there shouldn't be, is my point.
Well, shouldn't there be?
No, that's not fair.
So all rules have to apply to all people.
Equality of opportunity, not outcome. So, yes.
Right.
Everybody should have the same opportunity. So if kneeling is not a big deal for this player, then it shouldn't be a big deal for this player.
I don't disagree with that. But the thing is would...
You're setting a bad precedent if you set different rules for different people.
Dude, there's been different rules for different people since, you know, they were the third person came onto the planet.
I understand.
You know what I mean? So,
I understand. Know.
So, is it fair? No, but it's reality. So...
Right, but I just don't like it.
Well, you don't have to like it.
It makes me respect the organization less.
Did you respect him before?
Sure.
So, if... the Eagles didn't sign Eric Reed because he was a guy who knelt, but they didn't stop Malcolm Jenkins from doing it. You would be less impressed with the Eagles in that regard.
Yeah, that would make me angry.
Yeah?
Yes. So it's a stupid reason not to sign somebody.
It
has nothing to do with their ability to play football.
It doesn't. But it also if it impedes the flow of money into the door, then it's a problem. And I'm taking devil's advocate.
I understand.
Here. Yeah.
I get it. It could maybe you could make an argument about distractions, right? It could be a distraction, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I get that. But I think as an organization, if you can't handle that kind of thing, you're probably doing something wrong anyway. Because there's going to be distractions no matter what. There's going to be something. The press is desperate for any kind of story.
Sure.
So they're going to drum up something, you know. Especially local press. They got nothing going on.
Well, generally they don't.
Yeah, so I'm just saying. You know?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how to feel about that. Because, you know, I looked at that and I was like, you know, aren't we past that? It's not really a story at this point, is it?
Sure. Again, they're desperate.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It is a story. We're talking about it.
Yeah, I know. But
and they're keeping it a story by even asking him that question. It shouldn't even be on the...
But here's the thing. If they had... Not even asked him that. Brought him in, and he worked out well, and he said, okay, we're going to bring you into camp at least.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sign you to camp, see what happens, right? And they did that. Maybe they still do that. And, you know, once he's in, and they, you know, if they don't even make a big deal of it, and the first preseason game comes up and he kneels, who cares? Everybody knows he kneels.
Yeah, exactly. Let it go.
So, and you know what? Nobody outside of the stadium is going to know about it unless a camera
goes
right
to him. Why does anybody care if somebody kneels during the national anthem anyway?
Well, I understand that there are people who say disrespect to the country and the veterans and people at war.
I don't think it's disrespectful at all.
Right. You don't. There are people that do.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. If somebody wants to sit down,
dude, the list of things that don't bother you that bother other people. And also the list of things that bother you that don't bother other people, equally long.
Yeah.
Because you're a weird son of a bitch.
That's true.
And I love you for it, man.
That's true.
Without your
weirdness. Yeah, I just don't get it, man. Maybe that's it. I just don't get it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. He's not burning flags. That, I think, would be a little bit too far.
Well, that's legal.
I know, but so is kneeling.
I know.
Yeah, it's just frowned upon. If he was, you know, burning flags on YouTube and, you know, saying, like, you know, America sucks, then I'd go, he's probably, that's probably too far. But just taking a knee, I don't even think about it.
Well, before I, you know.
I really don't understand why it's that big of a story anyway.
Just taking the knee, I think, is one thing, but. Some of the comments he made after when it became a thing and he was interviewed, some of the things he said kind of were toward the America sucks side.
Well, I mean, he feels like there's an injustice, and he's using his platform to you know, promote.
And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. He's 100% right in that regard. There are issues, systemic issues. And we're getting a big, deep tangent now.
Yeah, but, you know, we're talking about football players.
With so policing in this country, there are 100. I mean, it's just fact that these statistics are racially skewed. They just are. Right? You can't deny it. I mean, it's like saying, you know, the sun is, you know, not yellow or whatever. Orange-ish yellow.
You're making another point. You should probably know.
All right, well.
The sky is not blue.
There we go. Yeah, the sky is not blue. It's like saying that.
The sun is not yellow or whatever. No, it's got to be pretty much definitive.
Whatever color
it is. You have to be definitive in what you're declaring here, I think.
Yeah, leave it to me to botch that completely. but you know what I'm saying? You can't look at hard numbers and just say that, well, that doesn't exist. That makes you stupid, you know, or blind. But, you know, so he's not wrong, and he's using his platform to try to promote some change in that direction, which should be celebrated.
Yeah, and you know,
that's a good thing,
and I like it because of that. It's like, yeah, you know, nobody's gonna pay attention to him, you know, unless he's on the football field,
right?
You know, or if he's a starter, they will, sure,
right. Yeah.
But you know, if you're, you know, not starting and somebody's starting in front of you, then it can be a problem.
So. Now, the one thing I will say is when it started to become a big story and a distraction for the organization, and started becoming an issue, he probably should have done more to go, hey, look, guys. This is something that I'm doing because it's something I believe in. Leave it at that. Let's talk about football. If you guys want to talk about football, I'll answer any questions you want. If you want to talk about this, this is not the time or the place. This is a football press conference.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he should have done.
So really the story became more about him and disrespecting the troops or whatever it was, as opposed to, you know, the reason he did it, excuse me, in the first place.
Correct.
Which, you know, if it had stayed with that, there was really, because that protest now is absolutely not bringing awareness to the original problem.
It's not.
The protest now is considered the problem.
Right.
So I don't even know that it's effective anymore. Continuing to do it?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. It's deep. It's a deep topic.
One last thing before we go to our regular thing that we want to talk about today.
Our regularly scheduled program.
Richie Incognito retiring from the NFL. And when he retired... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is his quote. Okay. I'm done. That's it. It's been a long career. Went to the doctor. My liver and kidneys are shutting down, which kind of sucks. The stress is killing me. It's just about doing what's right. I just want to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay. He lost me right at the end of what's right. If he'd stopped right there, I'd have been like, dude, take care of yourself, take care of your health, whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily like you as a human being for things that have come out in the news the past several years, but you know what? You know, take care of yourself and, you know, be a family man, whatever. But I know he was a very, very competent,
very talented
offensive lineman.
Sure.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I'm going to say no, man.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Without the whole thing with Jonathan Martin and the Dolphins and the whole thing, do you think then he's a Hall of Famer?
Probably.
At least he's nominated at the beginning.
Right.
Because he held, I mean, you know, saying an offensive lineman held probably isn't a good thing, but, you know, he, you know, was solid in his position for years and remained so,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he was able to play. Because of his own stupidity, he was out for some time. But when he was in there, he was very, very good. So, obviously, off-the-field problems or, you know
that
kind of have an effect.
That was really, really bad, the stuff in Miami. Yeah. That was really, 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 really bad.
Well, you know, it came at a time when, you know, bullying was very, you know, very forefront in the news. And
plus,
in
he dropped,
awareness.
Like, racial slurs and stuff, right? He was dropping N-bombs and stuff, right?
Yeah, there was some of that. And it wasn't just him, from what I understand. But he was the ringleader of that.
Yeah, I don't think you can erase history, man. That's the thing about that kind of stuff. Even if you apologize, that stuff doesn't really go away, man. You can't act like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at some people recently who have been, you know, back in the 70s or back in the 60s, I heard that person use a racial slur. You can apologize now for that. Mm-hmm. Go, you know what? It was a different time then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've looked back on some of the former things that I've done and said, and I realized that I was terribly wrong. And, you know, since then, I've grown as a person, and I really apologize for anything I said or anybody I hurt back then.
Right.
You know, there may be a little period of time where people are like, that guy's an ass. But after a while, you're going to be okay.
Maybe.
For the most part.
Some people will never forgive you for that.
Some people won't, but, yeah. You know, society as a whole will forgive you.
I believe that people should have an opportunity to redeem themselves sure. and grow as individuals.
Sure. I mean, dude, just right. I personally, you know, from 20 years ago to now, my opinions have
right.
changed.
Right, and how old was incognito when that happened? Like, I was a moron when I was 25. So,
dude, this was 3 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Was it three?
Three or four, yeah.
God, it feels like it was forever ago.
He was well past 20.
Okay, so he's in his 30s then.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, then, yeah. No excuse.
Dude,
sorry.
Even if he's in his 20s.
I have to look up when that happened.
Because I think he's been with the Bills for 3 years, and he's 34, I think.
Okay. If that was only a few years ago, 2014. Yeah, sorry, bro. Sorry.
You were 30.
Yeah, sorry.
You should have your wits about you at 30.
Yep, I'm done. I thought it was like 10 years ago for some reason.
Well, no. But
it feels like forever.
Yeah. So even if you're 23.
Well, it would have been 2013, I guess, because he was traded. I don't know, whatever.
Okay, 29-30. Still, you should know what's what.
He made the Pro Bowl four times, 2012, 2015, 16, and 17.
Was he ever all pro?
Does not say all pro. Mm-hmm. Nah, he's not all pro.
If he was, it would have said it.
He's got great. Listen, he had a really good career, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, he may be in the Hall of Very Good, but
he might get into, like, you know, I don't know, the Bills Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
You know. Ring of Honor, something. I don't know.
Anyway. So he played for the Bills in 09 as well, a little bit, looks like. He was drafted by the Rams. Anyway, whatever, who cares?
So yeah, the upshot is no Hall of Fame for Richie Cognito.
I don't think so. And now, asking for it makes you sound a little desperate.
Well, you know what? I was in the Hall of Fame briefly, but then I went to dinner.
Right.
You know? So that's pretty much what Richie's got to have to do if he wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
Griggity grizzied.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, you know, we know that shaving is kind of a personal thing, and changing your blade can be a difficult decision.
Well, Harry's is making it easy for you.
That's right. Harry's is offering you a trial set. It's a $13 value, so you can try their blades and their other products risk-free.
The trial set includes a weighted ergonomical handle, a five-blade razor with a lubricating strip, and a trimmer blade, which Kevin is really a big fan of. A sample of their rich lathering shave gel, which is nice, smells nice, and a travel blade cover. Get your trial set now by going to harrys.com/ffguys.
Harry's knows that a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts and lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years.
Don't take our word for it. Try Harry's yourself.
Fantasy Football Guys listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/ffguys.
You know me, Kevin. I'm a big fan of that ergonomical handle.
You mentioned the trimmer blade. I like that. Plus the close shave I get with the five blade, main head of the razor.
Well said.
Thanks.
Make sure you go to harrys.com/ffguys now to redeem your trial offer.
harrys.com/ffguys.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the Browns.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first several picks of the draft. You know, the draft is a couple weeks away as we record this. So, but you know, there's trade talk, and there's questions about whether the Bills are going to try to come up, and who are they going to find a trade partner with. You know, is anybody they want still going to be there if they can trade up? So
I think it's possible the Broncos do. Yeah. I think they make a play for the Giants pick.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends. I think it all depends on what the Browns do. So the Browns' needs right now, I mean, they have plenty of them, but their top needs are quarterback, cornerback. They could use a wide receiver. They could use other D-back help, and they need offensive line work, of course, because we know that, you know, JT just left.
Right.
So Tyrod Taylor's, you know, not going to be the future. We know this. He's not going to be the face of the franchise. He's just basically the bridge quarterback until they can get someone else in there. So initially we heard that Sam Darnold was the obvious choice. But there's now talk of Josh Allen being the guy.
Yep.
That's why, you know, I think if it's Darnold, I think he has a shot to get in this year. But if I think it's Allen, I think that he's a work in progress. And I think that Tyrod would see a lot more work with him there than he would with Darnold there.
Maybe, man, but you, like, you just never know. Plus, it's the Browns. They do random weird stuff.
So you're saying that
although I do like the things...
be good decisions made?
Or? Yes. Although I do like the things they've done this offseason. They're bringing in a lot of talent. I think they overpaid Landry a lot.
A little bit, yeah.
A lot.
He was looking for $18 million a year, dude.
Yeah, $47 million. Well, yeah, it doesn't mean he's going to get it.
Right, he didn't get it.
$47 million is a lot of money to guarantee to a, as you said, a slot receiver.
That's like a bowl of oyster stew right there.
It's a couple bowls. But I like what they're doing. They're making moves, at least. The past several years, they've passed on players that turned out to be great.
They've
been collecting these draft picks.
It's one of the reasons why they have the fourth pick this year is because they traded it for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you rather just have Deshaun Watson and have that whole quarterback thing figured out?
I'm sure they would. Yeah. I'm sure they would at this point. They could have had Carson Wentz.
They could have. They traded that pick as well.
Yeah.
And again, they collect all these draft picks, and I love it. And it seems like they're finally executing on whatever vision they had.
Right.
However, they could just trade some of those picks now, too. They might do that.
Right.
They have a lot of draft capital.
Now, most of the mock drafts that I've seen have them sticking at number one. They're going to get a quarterback there without question. I've seen some fools talk about, you know, they should take Saquon Barkley first and then pick whatever quarterback is left to them at four. That's not how it works, guys. Sorry. And I know that these people have to put out shows every day, so they have to talk about some crazy stuff. But they got to get the quarterback that works best for their system that they feel is, you know, the quarterback of their future. We've seen it go bad for them many times before.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Tim Couch.
I'll tell you, though,
I'm looking at you, Johnny Manziel.
That's why if I'm one of these quarterbacks, man, I don't want to get picked by the Browns, dude.
Well, Sam Darnold said he wanted to go to Cleveland.
All right.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, good for you.
He wants to be the number one pick and get that ka-ching.
Yeah, that's probably what he wants.
Anyway, so who doesn't?
Yeah.
Honestly. So, you know, there's no disagreement they're taking quarterbacks.
I've seen Rosen going to him, Darnold going to him. I've seen Jackson's visiting today.
Right.
So they may be making a play to move back, possibly. So Rosen, Allen, Sam Darnold, obviously. I've seen them, drafting, you know, a random person up front, insert guard or, you know, Barkley or whatever, and then taking Baker Mayfield at four, right?
That's a while ago, though. That's
been
a while ago.
But I'm just saying, like, it's been...
Take Chubb and then Mayfield.
Yeah. So I'm really, genuinely, I don't know what they're going to do, even with the first pick. Usually by now, the person's already wearing the hat, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's all but a formality, that first pick.
Right.
Almost always is every year.
Now, I'm pretty sure that the Browns know who they're going to take.
They're bringing in Lamar Jackson today.
Well, you know, that's who knows, like, what the – you know what a lot of these teams do? They have 30 visits they can do.
I understand.
So they bring guys in that they're interested in because you never know. 4 years, 5 years from now, Lamar Jackson may be a free agent that they want to bring in. So they want to kind of get a feel for him now.
Dude, I understand, but it's a little bit weird.
It is a little bit weird.
It's a little bit weird, right?
You know,
dude, what if they take Lamar Jackson?
It's called due diligence.
What if they take Lamar Jackson?
It would be
at four?
Fantastic because you know what? You got Tyrod Taylor who makes plays with his feet. Why not bring in Lamar Jackson, who's the same kind of player your offense stays?
So they
take
Chubb number one, and then they take Lamar Jackson at four, and either Rosen, Darnold, or Allen end up falling to, I guess, the Cardinals?
Just reported on Eagles 24/7 Sports, Cowboys expected to, in quotes, release all-pro wide receiver Dez Bryant.
Wow, they're going to release him now?
I guess he said, I'm not going to take a pay cut.
All right. Somebody will sign him. I bet Cleveland's going, damn it.
No, dude, they got plenty of money.
Yeah, I guess
they can bring the dude in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
All right, so, yeah. Mm. You know, I think it's either going to be Darnold or Allen, but
probably.
But you know, I think if they wanted to get Jackson, you know, there has been some, you know, some wild speculation that the Browns could take quarterbacks at one and four and hope one of them actually comes to the forefront.
That's actually not a bad role either, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it would be a very Browns thing to do.
That wouldn't bother me because then you can always trade the other guy, right? 2 years down the road, somebody's going to need a quarterback and be willing to invest in one of these guys.
Yeah, the top five pick in the NFL draft, sure.
Right. So I don't think it's that crazy, but I think if you want to win, you figure out who the guy is, right, and you draft him, and then you move
you
on.
You count on your scouts and yes, that kind of thing, right?
You have Tyrod, right? They got somebody else, too. Who's the quarterback?
Stan. They got
Stan. Yeah. So, I mean, he's capable of, you know, at least running the ship if people get hurt or whatever.
He can hand off.
He can.
Carlos Hyde.
He's fairly good at that. They still have Duke, who's a pretty good receiver. Carlos Hyde's a pretty good receiver. So they can help out young quarterbacks or weaker quarterbacks. So, you know, they have Corey Coleman, who I like a lot. If he can stay on the field. They have Landry and Josh Gordon, who we both know are top-tier talents.
Not all they
need
Njoku
is a bad mofo.
He is.
You know what I mean? So their offense is shaping up nicely if they get that one quarterback spot.
If they can do that.
Yeah.
And then if they can have a line.
Never
can
know,
protect,
man. Browns might win 8-10 games next year.
Dude, I'd love it.
Me too.
That would be fantastic.
Me too. I'd love to see the dog pound back.
And meaningful. I'd love to see them, you know, contending for the division in the next three, 4 years.
Yeah, that would be really, really. Yeah, I get tired of the same people winning over and over.
Yeah, I want to see you know, like the Patriots, you know, start to suck.
Well,
you know,
probably not this year.
Or the Steelers suck, but it never happens because anyway.
Well, I don't mind the Steelers so much, but
yeah, I don't either. Okay, so let's look at the Giants. So, you know, and there's some speculation that if Darnold is available in number two because the Browns took Josh Allen, that they would jump all over him. They need that quarterback of the future. They need offensive line help, edge rusher, because they got rid of some of their, you know, older talent. They need receiver help. But, dude, they really need running back help. We know this.
Yep.
So
I've seen both Denver and Buffalo in mocks trading to this spot.
To get quarterback.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't shock me a whole lot either. They got a couple years left out of Eli.
They do. He was what, 35, 36, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, let me look.
If only Alexa was here, she could answer for us quickly.
She probably could. He's 37.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. And no less than Colin Coward. You know this guy?
Yeah.
He said, you know what? The Giants are never this high in the draft because they never suck this bad.
Right. They're always middle of the pack.
Right. So, you know, when you're this high in the draft, naturally, without having to trade up and give up draft capital to get there, when you're here at number two, you take quarterback because you need to.
Right.
Because you need, you know, Eli's not going to last forever. Now, if they think they can win the Super Bowl now and running back is holding you back, then you take Barkley. But you're really gambling your future at the most important position on the field.
Yep, for now.
Right. So, you know, smart money, which doesn't mean anything because it's all guesses at this point, says quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, it says Josh Rosen, who's ready to go, the most ready to go guy out there. Sam Darnold, you know, if he's available, could be good there. We talked about
Chubb.
Saquon Barkley.
I've seen them taking Chubb.
Yeah, I've seen Chubb
too.
Chubb out of there too. But here's the thing: Saquon Barkley has been seen wearing Giants gear.
Has he?
Yeah. He was photographed wearing a Giants hoodie the other day.
Well, so, I didn't know that. Well, maybe they just take him, man. I really don't want him in the division. But, you know, they can only get so far with a good running back.
Well, here's the thing. How long can Barkley be, you know, transformational?
10 years at best.
Well, most running backs really start to slow down in 29, 30.
But I'm saying 10 years at best. Barry did it for 10 years. Right?
No, Barry did it for 8 years.
Was it 8? Okay.
Eight
then nine. 8 years.
Right. So, but a quarterback, dude, quarterback can get you
15.
15 or 20.
Maybe, yeah.
With today's, if you know, medical.
Well, imagine what it's going to be like in 20 years.
Yeah.
That medical. You know what I mean? So, yeah, maybe they can go 25 now.
Who knows?
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, I mean, the you know, really, after that number one pick, it's all up in the air. Except for the
weird.
Jets. The Jets did not trade up from 6 to 3 to give up all that they gave up.
Mm-mm. They're taking a quarterback.
To not draft a quarterback.
Yep. They're going to take whoever's left from Darnold, Allen, and Rosen, probably.
I completely disagree.
You think they're going to take Baker Mayfield?
I think Baker Mayfield is the perfect fit for New York City.
I've seen a bunch of mocks that have them taking like Rosen or Allen.
Yeah, I think Rosen could step in quicker,
mm-hmm.
and he's perfect for if you look at the quarterbacks they've got now, they have McCown, mm-hmm. they have Teddy Bridgewater, they're mm-hmm. drop back guys, they're not take off and run guys, and
nope.
Rosen's that,
right?
So he would make sense for them there, but you know, personality wise, You know, Mayfield's, I've worked for everything I got. He's a very blue-collar feel type of player.
Yep.
And I think he would do well there. But I think the, you know, just like the Browns at one, I think the Jets are quarterback shopping at that spot.
Me
and
too.
They may end up with the best, second-best quarterback out there. Darnold could end up going to them.
Could be. Could be. But I think...
Or Allen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, man, if the Giants don't take a quarterback there, the Jets have to be...
Oh,
doing
just yeah, chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
So the Browns sit there at four. Now, this is really interesting for them, you know, because you go, okay, Barkley's sitting there. Can you imagine, you know, the two-headed monster of Carlos Hyde and Saquon Barkley, right?
Three-headed with Duke Johnson.
With Duke Johnson, yeah. He'd be in the slot a lot of the time when in a four-receiver set out there. So, you know, that makes the offense really, really viable.
Yeah.
You know, if they have any sort of line at all, they're going to be able to make some hay with this offense.
100%.
Right. So,
but
they also need edge rushers like crazy. So, yep.
And
you
here's Chubb.
Chubb is sitting right there, best defender
in the draft
available to them there. But they also need
quarterback.
They also need D-back help. So,
Denzel Ward
from Ohio
Absolutely.
State sitting there.
Denzel
He's fantastic. Ward. Minkah Fitzpatrick is sitting there from Alabama. So that's where you go.
But do they draft offensive line, too? They could go Quentin Nelson. That's possible.
Or McGinchy.
Or McGinchy, sure.
But
I think that this is probably
McGlinchy,
the spot.
Sorry. McGlinchy.
Is it McGlinchy?
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Mickey Face. This is the pick, I think, that is vulnerable. So if somebody like, you know, I don't know, Chicago or San Francisco or something wanted to come up and, you know, get Chubb, for example.
Or if the Bills wanted to come up and get the quarterback that's left over.
Well, I think that the Bills really are targeting that second spot from the Giants. That's the spot that is probably the most vulnerable in the top five.
Well, I think it depends on what the Giants want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if they go, okay, we're not going, you know, we want to get picks and try to rebuild with the quarterback we have, you know, in the second round, we'll still be able to get guys, you know, maybe Gruce will still be there.
Right.
You know, maybe Jones or Nick Chubb will still be there. There's two good Georgia running backs this year. So, you know, if that's what they want to do, but dude, if they're going quarterback, they're not moving. So I think really the Browns at number four are really the first
possible.
Decent
yeah.
move up spot
because
the Browns can you know slide back to number 12 and still get a really good defensive player or a really good offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it would be awesome to see them take Chubb or Barkley there.
Yes,
and just you know imagine Garrett on one side, Chubb on the other.
Yeah, that's a dangerous crew, man.
It is.
Now you're starting to really put together a squadron. You're making your team better on both sides of the football.
Squad goals.
Hashtag squad goals.
All right, so number five. Now it starts getting even weirder because, you know, the Broncos brought in Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. Is he their guy of the future? I mean, he's young enough to continue. He could play for another 10 years.
So this is really weird because I really don't know. They could trade. They could draft a quarterback. They could draft offensive line, right? If Barkley's somehow still there, they might take him. They could trade out of this spot. I could see them doing too, if nobody good's available. Like you know what I mean? Maybe they're not in the market for a running back, and it goes, you know, and I don't know. Buffalo leapfrogs into the four spot.
They kind of are in the market for a running back.
I know, but I'm just saying maybe Buffalo leapfrogs into the four spot, and then you have four quarterbacks in a row.
Right.
There's nobody left for.
Well, they need an edge rusher. So if Chubb's
maybe Chubb,
there.
Maybe they take Chubb there. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But I think it's too early for wide receiver, certainly too early for tight end there.
Yep.
Probably too early for offensive line, an offensive lineman who's not a transformational tackle.
Maybe.
You know, and maybe and we were talking about, you know, cornerback or safety there. Mm. You know, Denzel Ward's a guy who's you know, consensus top 10 guy.
Yeah.
So there's lots of places they could go. And, you know, if there's still a quarterback there that they like, Buffalo could move up.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
It's really weird. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait, dude. And it's, 2 weeks? Two weeks away?
Yep.
2 weeks? Yeah, under 2 weeks. So the Colts sit there at number six. They traded with the Jets, and they ended up getting a lot of draft capital behind it just to move back three spots. You know, they have your boy Marlon Mack, right, at running back. But if Barkley's sitting there, is he too tempting not to take? Depends. Even though you have, you know, edge.
I think if
needs,
Chubb is still there, they 100% take Chubb.
You have to. Best player in the draft.
Yeah, at that point.
A lot of people say.
People would argue that Barkley is too, but.
I meant Barkley.
Oh, I was saying Chubb.
He's the best defender in the draft.
Right. Yeah. So I think if Chubb's there, they take Chubb. If not, though, which is, you know, more than a possibility, I'd be surprised if Chubb making it out of the top five. But, you know, you never know. Four quarterbacks go in a row, and then Barkley, you know, maybe Chubb's there, and then they take Chubb. So I think they take one of those two. They take Chubb or Barkley.
Well, they're switching back to a 4-3 first down attack now, so they need those hand-on-the-ground edge rushers.
Yeah.
So if Chubb's there, I think he's probably the obvious choice.
I think they take one of those two. So I think either Barkley or Chubb end up in Indy.
So now Tampa comes along, and Tampa really needs a running back. So I think it's too early for the likes of Gruce. You know, I think it's too early for, you know, Ronald Jones from USC. They have other needs, too.
I think they go defensive back here.
They should. I mean.
Yeah. They either get Denzel Ward or who's that guy from Florida State? Hold on, I'm looking. Derwin James.
Well, there's also Mike Hughes from Central Florida.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Josh Jackson from Iowa.
Yeah.
You know,
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, if you're looking at a safety, there's a few guys here.
Yeah, there's guys you can get.
There's
ballers.
There's ballers.
As it were.
Right. So, you know, I think that, you know, maybe they could move back if there's still quarterback available.
But who's looking to move into that spot? Who's looking to move into nine?
You know what?
Seven.
Nobody, except if the Giants take Saquon Barkley. The Jets take quarterback. Maybe the Browns take Chubb. The Broncos grab cornerback, right? Maybe the Broncos get Denzel Ward, saying that we're going to stick with Case Keenum for a while. Maybe the Colts, you know, grab another edge rusher or a wide receiver or a tackle because they need a three technique as well. So there you sit at seven, and Josh Rosen's still available.
Yeah.
Or Sam Darnold sitting there, you know?
Maybe somebody jumps into that spot at that point, but who would it be?
Well, you know, you look behind you, right? There's
who would it be?
The Bills? Bills want a quarterback, right?
They're not behind them, are they?
Bills are 12.
Yeah, they're 12, okay.
Dolphins could jump up.
Yeah, Dolphins, well.
I think the Tannehill experiment's just about over.
Yeah.
You know,
the Redskins, too.
I mean, they don't need a quarterback, though.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They just traded a bunch for Smith.
Yeah, how old is Alex Smith?
He's Aaron Rodgers' age. He's, I think, 34, 35.
They really think Alex Smith is the future of the organization? He's 33. I guess that's okay. All right, that's fair.
He's got another, eight years left
in
him, maybe.
He's not, though.
He's not. Well, I don't think that we've talked about this. I don't think they got better at quarterback.
No, they didn't.
Maybe they got more consistent, but consistently... You know, anyway, drop-off passes. So the Cardinals are there too, dude. The Cardinals could look to trade up if they have the
Well,
the
they definitely capital. Need a quarterback. So
yeah, and there's, you know, the Ravens need a quarterback. I'd love to see them take Lamar Jackson. But we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm waiting for my computer.
Waiting for
load.
Stuff to load.
Yeah, so then after the Bucs, you know, I don't know that they have any, you know, any room to move there, but it would be interesting to see one of those other teams pop up and grab another quarterback. So then after that's the Bears. They certainly don't need a quarterback. They're happy with the guy they have.
They go offensive liner or D-back probably.
Yeah, they have a lot of defensive needs here.
Yeah, and you probably go linebacker.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech is good.
Right. Yep.
Dude, I really hope that Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State drops to 32 because I'd love to see that
but he's not going to.
He's not going to. He's actually, his stock is actually rising a bit now.
He'll get drafted before the Eagles.
Yeah, and there's other edge rushers too, dude. Marcus Davenport is a madman, and Sam Hubbard from Ohio State. So there's lots of guys for the Bears to go there. So I think they definitely go defense, even though they could use offensive line. We saw how good they were last year.
Yeah.
By that, I mean not good.
Not.
Right, so then here come the Niners. These guys are really interesting.
All of a sudden,
the Niners with Jimmy Garoppolo, they made a couple other moves. Richie Sherman's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... No, I mean, you know, I'm certainly not a draft analyst, but, you know, we pay attention, obviously. So I really have no handle on what these guys could possibly do.
They probably go, I would say they almost certainly go defensive back, right? Probably Fitzpatrick. I mean, Derwin James might be there still. But I think where this gets interesting is this where we see the first wide receiver come off the board? Get the young quarterback a new toy.
Calvin Ridley, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Cortland Sutton.
There's a bunch of these guys.
There are. And they're kind of all over the place.
Christian Kirk from A&M.
Yep. So I think this is probably, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's definitely not 100%. It's probably more like 30. But I think this is one of the spots where we could see the first wide receiver come off the board.
Interesting. That might be a little early, but I don't.
Yeah, it is. But again, if you look what they did in the offseason, again, I think they probably go defensive back. But if they weren't inclined to do that, you know, maybe they look at one of these young wide receivers.
I would be pretty surprised if they didn't go O-line here because they had huge problems there.
They do.
You know, Quentin Nelson is the guy from Notre Dame that everybody talks about who's mm-hmm. a guard mm-hmm. who could be one of those people that, you know, is slipping on a gold jacket in 17 years.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot
of people have said that. He's just
a ways away, bro.
It is. But Will Hernandez from UTEP, you know, he's a guy people talk about. Mm-hmm. Orlando Brown, who didn't show very well at the Combine. He is still, you know, like a top five rated tackle. And there's other guys, you know, Williams from Texas, Miller from UCLA, et cetera. So I think there's a lot of offensive line help there, and the Niners need that. You know, they could probably replace the entire damn line and be relatively happy.
Probably.
Number 10. And we'll stop here at 10.
Okay.
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. Don't need a quarterback.
Nope.
Too early to go running back because Barkley's gone. Right? Pretty much anything offensively is off the table other than...
Maybe tackle.
A tackle, right.
Right.
Because Nelson will be gone by now. So they got to go defense here, right?
You'd think.
Right. So you got, again, all the linebackers we talked about, Raquan Smith. You got Denzel Ward. Maybe he falls.
Rashawn Evans is good from Alabama, like him.
Who's that tackle?
Are you talking about Vita Vea?
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Washington, right?
Yeah.
So that guy. So I think that's probably the most likely of situations. That's your computer, dude. It's not mine. Mine's muted. Yeah.
I heard something. I didn't know if
it's every website you go to now autoplays stupid videos.
Especially football.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that they go D-back or linebacker here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot that they need.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah, right. But they don't need a quarterback. So, you know, I think Lamar Jackson is safe for a while. You know, probably Buffalo will be the first time, you know, unless the Browns do something crazy. Probably Buffalo is the first time that Lamar Jackson is in play.
Dude, you know, I've heard.
Yeah.
That the Patriots really like Lamar Jackson.
Really?
And that, you know, they have two number ones and now two number twos, right?
Right.
You know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... could they package those two number ones up to move up to like mid to late teens?
It's probably a little much, but yeah, they
or
could.
For a one and a two. Well, it all depends on, you know, the but numbers.
Then why the hell you get rid of Garoppolo then? If you're going to trade
because Garoppolo's contract was coming up next year, you're either going to have to pay him.
You got to walk away from Brady.
Do you? Do you walk away from the most valuable player of the league?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. If you're going to give away two number ones for a question mark?
Well, they gave away Cooks, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they got a number one for that.
I'm just saying.
No, you don't walk away from the GOAT, dude. Well, here's the thing.
If you're going to do you walk away from the GOAT.
Would Belichick walk away from the GOAT?
Yeah.
I think he would.
Here's what I'm trying to say.
Robert Kraft is not going to walk away from Brady.
I understand. Garoppolo, though, in my mind, is 100% going to be better than Lamar Jackson. I don't think there's a percentage. It's probably non-zero, but it's extremely low that Lamar Jackson ends up being better than Jimmy G. So,
and your basis for that is, well, we've seen what Garoppolo can do in the NFL.
Exactly.
We have no idea what Lamar Jackson can do.
I'm just using just odds.
Right.
Right, just basic percentages of quarterbacks getting drafted in the first round and actually performing well. Not a great track record, dude.
It's they're okay. Under 50%.
Yeah, they're okay. And even those guys aren't great. Right? Even some of those guys aren't fantastic. Look at Alex Smith. He's good. Right. But he's not great.
He's not going to win a Super Bowl in his lifetime.
Probably not. Right. Sorry, Redskins fans.
No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. Either. Yeah. But if you look at the 1983 quarterback draft,
I know
I'm going to screw it up, but
that was LA and Marino. Yeah,
right. So I'm going to actually look at these guys. Okay, I'm going to look at 1983. So the number one pick was John Elway.
To the Baltimore Colts.
Indianapolis, they were Baltimore Colts at the time, and mm-hmm. he refused to play. So I'll play baseball, I don't care. So he was traded to the Broncos, but still a first-round pick, right?
Yep.
Pick number seven was Todd Blackledge. So Elway obviously had success in the NFL. Todd Blackledge for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Out of Penn State, man. Penn State legend.
Not a success.
Not.
Pick 14, Jim Kelly to the Buffalo Bills.
I've heard of him.
Went and played Houston Gambler football in the USFL for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the MVP of the USFL in 1984. But in 1986, the Gamblers folded. Kelly was going to play for the Generals. I think Trump owned them, didn't he?
I don't know.
Anyway, at some point he came back to the Bills, who had drafted him and owned his rights. So, yeah, he was a success. I'm gonna call it. So that's two good.
Guy's got a gold jacket. I think he's pretty good.
He's doing pretty good. Hope he, thoughts and prayers. Jim's coming back from his cancer issue. Yeah. So. Tony Eason with the New England Patriots.
There you go.
Had short term success.
Yes,
he was okay short term.
Yep.
But when you look at at this draft and you go, would you consider him a franchise quarterback for a decade? The answer is a big fat solid no. So that's two up, two down. Mm-hmm. Then you got Kenny O'Brien for the New York Jets. He's supposed to be the next Joe Namath, right?
Yep.
Lasted 11 years in the NFL. Went to the Pro Bowl a couple times.
Yeah, he had a decent career.
In 85, he was a highest rated QB in the NFL.
Yeah, he was okay.
And then he broke a finger. Mm. Five straight losses for the Jets. Signed with the Eagles, of course. Yeah, either that's where old quarterbacks go to die. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to call him a push.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to say 2-2-1. Danny Marino, of course, we know him.
He's a win.
So that's 3-2-1.
So what I'm hearing is the greatest quarterback draft ever was still about 50-50.
About 50-50.
Right.
Because
so,
you could call Kenny O'Brien, because they didn't really have great success with him.
But he was okay, though.
He was pretty good.
He was good, not great.
Right. So really, you could say 3-3.
Roughly, yeah.
So it's about 50%.
And that's the greatest draft ever. Go look at when McNabb was drafted.
Oh, so let's look at 2004.
Okay.
This is a good draft. Eli Manning went to the Giants via San Diego, right?
Well, Philly Rivers.
Philip Rivers was pick number four, ended up going to San Diego via New York. Big Ben, Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. All three of these guys you call success.
So that's three wins.
Pick number 22, J.P. Losman. J.P. Losman.
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 Yeah, that's 3-1.
Yeah, so that was a pretty good draft.
Yeah.
That
was a good one.
Last year, 2 years ago.
When you had
Wentz and Goff, mm-hmm. they did all right.
Yeah.
So I think that, more recently, guys who are drafted early are having successes that
maybe
previous years they didn't have. Deshaun Watson comes in, everybody's like, oh, God, what's this guy going to do? Lights it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but he played six games, and we need to see what, his career is going to look like. RG3 right. had an amazing first season, too.
Now a Raven.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, not necessarily.
Right.
I wouldn't even call him good.
Who? RG3?
Yeah.
No, certainly
he had
not now.
A good year.
Right.
Nothing since.
So, Deshaun Watson, hopefully he comes back 100% healthy from his knee.
Yep.
And if he does, we're talking about, we talked about
Kenny O'Brien.
Kenny O'Brien. Mm-hmm. He had a couple Pro Bowl years, et cetera. We really still can't consider him a quote-unquote success because the team didn't go anywhere.
They didn't really do anything.
Right.
He was good.
Right. So under that, even though, the Dolphins went to a Super Bowl under Marino, but they really didn't go anywhere else after that. But he was just so good. He was the team for a decade mm-hmm. or more.
So, he was the NFL.
He was among the NFL faces with Elway. And
Elway too. But I'm just saying, Danny Marino was like the ultimate star quarterback. He was the next Joe Namath. He was the good looking, you know, super fit, perfect smile. You know what I mean? Like, I never won a Super Bowl, which right. I think is terrible.
Well, he never had a running game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, he was as big a star as you get in the NFL, you know, at that
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, he was massive.
Even now.
Well, I mean, he's still on TV.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so what is this draft going to bring quarterback-wise? I mean, even if it's 50%,
yeah.
and you've got six guys out there who,
that's a 3-3.
Who have a shot at doing something decent, and the guy we really didn't talk about was Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. You know, all things being equal, you know, he's really being quiet as far as his chatter goes, but he's really good too.
Yes, he is.
You know, if you look at previous drafts, you know, with Russell Wilson, with Dak Prescott, you know, guys who don't really get a whole lot of play in the media have success. Dude, Mason Rudolph could be the best of this bunch in 5 years.
Very easily. Yeah.
Look at Kirk Cousins.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot. People are drafted, you know, second, third, fourth round, fifth round. I mean, even later, you know, you see people.
Brady.
Brady. What was he, six?
Six round. Yeah. So anyway, dude, I'm getting stoked about this. draft coming up in a couple of weeks.
Me too.
We're still deciding whether or not we're going to do the Thursday live show.
Let's ride.
Whether or not we're going to record it.
And actually put it out.
Yeah,
that'd be fun. Oh, Brian, let us know if you're serious about it. We'll text you, man.
Yeah, and I don't know if we should do it, but
I don't know if we should either. It was so bad last time.
No, it was a bad show. It was a fun time.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah,
we set a TV up.
Oh, it was so good, but we got like everything wrong. Like halfway through the draft, I couldn't remember who had already been taken. So I'd be like, yo, this guy's still on. And you guys were like, I don't think he is. And we were like, is he?
He's not. Yeah, well, you tend to dip a little deeper into the trough than I do.
You know, I go deep, bro. I go hard or go home.
Yeah. And, yeah.
It was good times, though.
By the way, I'm very excited. Bosch has dropped on Amazon today.
What? Was it today?
Yeah.
Friday the 13th?
Huh?
Today's Friday the 13th.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
Oh, who knew? So I love how you do that, and the next line is going to blow your brains out. So,
right.
Anyway, so if you haven't watched Bosch on Amazon,
yeah, big fan,
Amazon Prime, by all means, look into that. New season 4 dropped today. So tonight, this weekend, just call me Binging Billy.
Yeah, I'm going to binge it too. I got to go home and work on my bike, though, figure out what the hell's going on with it.
All right, we're out. Enjoy your weeks, and we'll be back in, you know, 10 days or so to talk about we're going to actually do our mock drafts. We may do them a little differently this year. Usually, Lyle and I both pick a number one. Let's alternate this year.
You want to go back and forth?
I'll
so you take somebody off the you take somebody off the board, he's not available to me anymore?
That's correct.
All right. We could do that. Who gets number one?
We can flip for it.
Well, let's flip for it.
Tell you what, I'll give it to you. You can have it.
No. Fair and foul. I don't want your charity.
We'll flip for it now.
Let's flip for it right now, bro. Do this.
You call him bro, pal.
Bro.
You ready?
Yep. Tails.
And it's a head.
All right. You get the first pick.
You trust me?
No, but I trust you that that's a head. I can see.
All right. So I get the first pick. What
Dude,
to do? What
Browns,
to do?
Number one overall. He's taking Rosen. Or is he taking Allen?
You know who I'm going to take?
Who? Well, I mean, you might as well tell me.
I haven't decided yet.
All right.
But it's going to be a cube.
There's a mystery solved.
Believe that. All right, bitches, we're out. Enjoy whatever it is you do when you're doing it, and we'll see you.
All right, bitches, being out. Love you, meaning. Have a day.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.